Hafaday, and welcome to this edition of Heart of Harvest.
Every child becomes a present. Every child also becomes fruit, as he says in verse 4. He says they are also fruit of the womb. They're his reward. It is a reward.
That was Pastor Marty Heron, the former pastor of Harvest Baptist Church. Heart of Harvest brings you archived sermons from Pastor Heron's nearly 19-year ministry on Guam. Our prayer for this program has always been that these messages from the Word of God would help you develop a heart for God. To download these programs or others, or to learn more about our ministry, we'd invite you to visit the Harvest Baptist Church website at hbcguam.org. That's hbcguam.org. And now, from our Harvest Archive, former Pastor Marty Heron with today's message.
You have your Bibles, turn to Psalms 127, if you would, as we look at a topic that I want it to be a help to us. You say, well, I'm not married and not planning on it, and it's okay. There's nothing more spiritual or unspiritual, whether you're single or married, but it's according to what God's given and gifted to you, and I trust that it'll be of a help. I'm intrigued when I read about marriages from the past and what has happened in and through them, and I believe in most godly examples in the past, they had no idea how God would use them. In the future, people looking back at them, I think of Hudson Taylor, his wife Maria Dyer, who were worlds apart. Maria Dyer, who was from Balea, her parents were servants of the Lord, they died, and so her and her sister were orphaned. And for many, many years, raised by a ruthless lady, a Victorian time period where they were very much rules and regulations, and half around the other side of the world in Yorkshire, a dad that was so intrigued by the mysterious land of China. That's all he talked about was China. And eventually his son Hudson, who was around his father's feet in the drugstore business, later in his early 20s, was so moved by the stories of China that he left for China. And you remember those stories where really Hudson Taylor was a unique individual, really out of the mainstream. He was the first missionary that ended up dressing just like the Chinese. He shaved his head and had a ponytail, and feet were all tightly bound in his shoes, and all the missionaries ostracized him. And eventually, he ran into Maria. He had already been engaged twice and been told no. And by the time he met Maria, he asked her to marry him. And she initially said no. She said no because the lady that was responsible for her as an orphan had basically forced her to say, no, you cannot marry this guy. He's weird. He's odd. He's out of the mainstream. And so she wrote this letter against her will and said, no, I'm not going to marry you. And eventually, over a short period of time, they secretly rendezvoused together. As his own diary would suggest, he had more kisses than a boy should have had. And I'm thinking, eventually they married. And according to the reports, it actually, Hudson, just before he was married, was flat broke. What happened was he had a friend of his that was providing breakfast for 60 Chinese famine victims every morning. They were paying out of their own pocket. And so when he got married, he didn't have anything. And what they ended up doing, he and Maria made two Chinese scrolls and put them over their mantelpiece, and they became the themes of their whole life and ministry. One said Ebenezer, and the other said Jehovah Jireh. One said Ebenezer, which means he kept us, and Jehovah Jireh means he provides. And that became the theme of their life. It was just a few years later that in their marriage, he was losing his health and she had one young little one. They went back to England, and during those days, God gave them health. He wrote the Ningpo New Testament, recruited missionaries, and became widely used. Actually, he began traveling up and down England, announcing that, quote, a million a month were dying without God in China. Half the heathen population of this world lived in China at that time, and the number of missionaries there was decreasing instead of increasing. He prayed for 24 missionaries, and during those time period, he saw an incredible interest and brought a whole team back to China. That was just after 6 years earlier that David Livingstone had went and presented the Africa continent to England and great missionary interest in Africa. 6 years later, Hudson Taylor came through. A great interest in what was going on in China. Fact is, the great pulpiteer Charles Haddon Spurgeon made the statement that China is now ringing in our ears. And that country in that time was a huge sending force to missionaries. And interesting to note, if you could step back, that as missions turned, it ended up coming to America. And America became a great sending base. I'd like to tell you that's still the case, but statistically, it's no longer, by statistics, the number one sending country. And it seems that the whole world is shifting and moving towards a greater and greater emphasis, actually, to Asia. And it's exciting to be able to live in Guam, to be able to have a close proximity to that part of the world and be able to see God do a great work, in particularly in the ground churches there in China. Because God ends up loving to take instruments. As Hudson Taylor said himself, God chose me because I was weak enough. God does not do his great works by large committees. He trains somebody to be quiet enough and little enough, and then he uses him, unquote. And so when God ends up shaping people, he shapes them individually. And often is the case when you look through many a missionary, many of those missionaries were coming from countries that had a great heart. But also, those countries are made up of homes that have a great heart for world evangelization. And we are going to be looking at missions. And so I tie that together because Psalms 127 is really broken into two parts. Those beginning years where marriage actually didn't start in the New Testament. It didn't start in the book of Psalms. The first wedding, as you know, as I like Russell Kelton, the way he put it, the first marriage was intended to be God's demonstration of his purposes and principles. And that was found in a perfect setting with a couple in the Garden of Eden. He said it was conducted by a special minister, the pastor, which will conduct the wedding of weddings, which is yet to come, Jehovah. Adam and Eve were destined for an eternal honeymoon until an uninvited guest showed up and challenged the basis for a perfect marriage, which was the sovereignty of God. The result was communication breakdown and conflict and ultimately corruption of a whole family. It became a whole world that was not resolved till in the future in Revelation, at the end of the book, when God brings back the ultimate purpose for marriage. The two purposes for marriage is, number one, spiritual unity, to overcome loneliness. That's Genesis 2. And Genesis 3 is the physical unity to magnify the image of God by multiplying his creation on earth. He did it through marriage. Now, I say all that as introduction to where in the world do we go once the beginning of marriage is set. I gave you three vain or incomplete parts of when people say, I want to end up being married, then make God the foundation. I talked about those beginning years being the years that we are working in vain and watching in vain and worrying in vain. And then we talked about, and I want to talk very briefly about the area of children, because this is where you find the birthing years. Look, if you would, in verse 3, 4, and 5, because I think it's simply clear that as you look at this area, you'll end up finding that it makes the statement, lo, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. He says, as arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are the children of the youth. I'll get to verse 5, but he gives in those two verses, very simply, pictures of what children are. And those pictures, I think, reveal a lot to us. And you say, well, I don't have any children. Then I would say to you, you might not have children of your own. You have influence over children. And I've mentioned this before, but our particular church probably has a little more percentages of singles than the norm because of the ministry we have here. I've noticed over the last half a dozen years, many, many of our own singles of our church that have great influence in a positive direction for our own children. And that's how God meant it to be. God meant it to be an influence for righteousness' sake. There are two institutions that are closest to God. I think there are four authorities, and I've mentioned them to you. I think government is an authority ordained by God. I think employers are ordained by God. And the other two authorities, which are also God's closest to his heart, is the local church and family. And that's why when you as a family said, what are our priorities? Your priority should be your family and his family, because those are closest to his heart. That's why when you read through the scriptures, you'll end up finding those two institutions to be so close to God's heart, and they're intricately tied together. Without children, you wouldn't have any reproduction in which an ongoing institution can influence people for righteousness. That's why when we have events that happen and our children that are here, that you, among God's family, influence other families for righteousness. He gives these three pictures of children, and I think I mentioned this a few years ago, but they're really right out of the text, and maybe they'll be of help to you, because he says, first of all, verse 3, children are a heritage of the Lord. What he's talking about there, they are presents, or they're heirlooms. It's the idea of property there. It is a heritage. It has the idea of inheritance, and I like the thought that when he talks about children are a heritage of the Lord, that not everyone can give an inheritance. But everyone should give a heritage. Some of us aren't going to be able to pass on a fortune of inheritance that so many times you see in our world today is fought over by families that want what is left over by a grandma or grandpa or a mom or a dad. But every one of us as Christians should be able to give a heritage. And a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, the Bible says. And so we start with the present. We start with it really being an heirloom, as Dr. Phillips suggests, and I like the way he put that, because every child becomes a present. Every child also becomes fruit, as he says in verse 4. He says, they are also fruit of the womb. They're his reward. It is a reward. And it means that that fruit is healthy fruit, just as a child is in a place that both of these imply an idea in which they are gifts. They're not achievements. We didn't work. They're gifts given to us by God. And thirdly, they're an arrow. And arrows are very, very helpful. Because in that economy that Solomon has written, there were no bullets. There were no guns in that day. And the most lethal weapon that you could attain is an arrow. All of these are pictures of children. The idea and the observations of these pictures, it is undeserved. All of these elements are undeserved. We're in a place to realize, you know what? I don't deserve any of those. I don't deserve what God you've given to us. Realize number two, they've got to be maintained. All of these have to be maintained. When I look and say that as an inheritance, we have to take care of it as fruit, and it does take energy to maintain them. They have to be maintained. And number three is, it's time consuming. It takes constant care. R.A. Torrey, who years ago was a huge influence in church and church work, he made the statement as far as churches are concerned. He said, quote, it is easiest to lead a child from 5 to 10 years to a definite acceptance of Christ. R.A. Torrey said, I rejoice in the work done by rescue missions, where we see the wrecks of manhood and womanhood changed into noble men and women. But this is not the work that produces the most satisfactory Christians. The younger we get a child to accept Christ and begin Christian training, the more beautiful the product. The overwhelming majority in our churches today were converted before 21 years of age. He said, whatever your church does, let it do its full duty by the children. Unquote.
That was Pastor Marty Heron, the former pastor of Harvest Baptist Church on Guam. Heart of Harvest brings you archived messages from Pastor Heron's nearly 19-year ministry at the church. You can download sermons from this archive at hbcguam.org/HOH for Heart of Harvest. All the information you need to send us a comment or question can also be found at hbcguam.org/HOH. Today's teaching from the Word of God was intended to help you develop a heart for God. Join us again next time, and thanks for listening to Heart of Harvest.